The steps turned to the right, a 180 that slowly revealed a dusty, disused cellar. In the back left corner, as far away from the stairs and the door to the backyard as possible, a trap door, just like Annie M's, was a tangled mess of shapes.
Oh, God.
White bone peeped through, glimmering in the dark. One electric bulb in the ceiling did nothing to dispel the darkness. A curtain of glaucous night shielded the corner. A shimmer like heat off pavement mixed with night's obscurity, only pulling aside to show small glimpses of whatever lay beyond. Tangled over the bodies was a sorcerous shell of concealment, laid with power and exquisite care. The shield drew tight, alert as my aura fluoresced in the ether, the sea urchin spikes of my personal borders poking through, sparking against the contamination of Hellbreed, then retreating. It nagged at me. Even with what Clark had told me, something was wrong here. One instrument was out of tune, screwing up the whole symphony.
Deal with what you've got in front of you, Jill. Analyze later when the scene's safe.
The ruby warmed at my throat. Silver chimed in my hair, shifting and heating up. I shut my dumb eye, my blue eye piercing the strings of sorcery, a shifting pattern of darkness and occasional body flashes.
She does good work, this Chenchi.
The copper cuff snapped free of my wrist of its own accord. The scar turned into a brand, wet heat tracing obscenely up my arm, following the branching channels of nerves and veins. I lifted my right hand, black fire twisting around my fingertips as I pulled etheric force through the scar and down my wrist, a low cycling through the concrete. Pitch a levin bolt low enough and you can actually shatter glass or work a hole in pavement. The drawback is, it takes a lot of energy. Energy I had to burn now. One reason to be glad I'd made my bargain with Perry.
Oh, very nice work. If I push there, it traps me. If I take it apart here, the backlash knocks me down. Huh. You're a sneaky bitch, aren't you? Daddy must have taught you well.
I set my feet on the last stair. My coat flapped. A hot breeze lifting from nowhere, teasing my cheeks and the silver weighing down my hair. Sparks crackled, Mikhail's ring burning on my left hand, the ruby at my throat spitting again and again, warning me. Levenbolt flames swirled counterclockwise, coming to a tapered point like a narwhal's horn. Cupped in my palm, the spire of etheric energy trembled, cycling up.
More chill. Give it more.
My attention centered on the levenbolt straining to wriggle free. It takes a particular relaxed fierceness to hold this much energy still, corralling it to one's will. Sorcery isn't for those who can't relax and concentrate. If Harp and Dominic had come down off the stairs, they would have triggered the trap. I'd have been looking at a severely wounded pair of wares, maybe even critically damaged.
Good thing they've got me.
I bent my knees, sinking down, compressing myself. My fingers were scorched where the levenbolt pulled on the nerves and yearned to fly free. My coat pooled behind me. The silver in my ammo, knives, and jewelry responded to the contamination of a Hellbreed curse in the air, straining toward me just as the bolt strained to escape my control.
Do it fast, Jill. Go for the quick tear.
I leapt. Uncoiling, right hand flung forward, the bolt crackling through the first few layers of the sorcerer's shield and piercing, sticking fast. Then, all that contained force suddenly finding itself free. Potential became kinetic. I landed, driven to one knee by the backlash of energy bouncing off concrete walls and buffeting my aura. A shower of sparks fell from my hair. One huge bloody point of light from the ruby at my throat.
Ugh.
I shook the deep, hideous noise out of my head. It was like the world's biggest gong vibrating inside my skull.
Easy as cake, Jill. Your usual fine work.
My right hand spread against the cold concrete floor, my leather-clad knee soaking up a chill too. I raised my head slowly.
very slowly.
Oh, shit. It wasn't a shield to keep the bodies from being found.
It had been a protection laid on the rogue ware, sleeping in his nest of meat and snapped bone.
He's not sleeping anymore.
His eyes were flat with beast shine in the dim light, and he crouched on the slope of mounded bodies. He was halfway between his animal form and human, neither one nor the other. And as a result, well, most wares are beautiful and graceful in their human forms, and just as beautiful in their animal.